Tezayin, but Aleph Chasim Potter Mekriyashma, which is brought down in our mission, right? It says Chasim Potter Mekriyashma, Lai Rishona, Dian Motzi Shabbos, Imu Asa Masa. Okay.
Except for Rabbi Shema.
Except for what the Mishnah brings down, a story of
Rabbi Ishmael, who was
Rabbi Gamliel.
That
what?
Close. That he says, "What are you kidding me? I'm not going to give up the mitzvah of saying Kriya Shema."
Right.
But he was a rare guy. He was able to chew gum and walk at the same time.
Correct.
As opposed to other people.
Oh, that's also part of the Kriya Shema. Why? Because he's also the mitzvah.
Oh, yes. He has to worry about satisfying his wife, and then if she is really a virgin, not this, that, and only other things. So you have
the,
a shot.
Also, that's part of the mitzvah. Only if you can't. Do both.
Oh.
But we say, but if you mind, you have to have the right kavana, but you can't have the kavana because your mind's on something else.
You do it later.
It doesn't work that way.
He has a whole life.
That, you know, one of the more interesting Rashis we'll see, which is the last line, it says, we didn't read the words yet, but it says the last Rashi in this Omen. Yeah, Pralosik B'mitzvah. Kfar Pirashti Beperek Rishon, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. So he's like, I'm not explaining it again, because exactly. This Gemara was found already, and therefore there's no need to go through it again. Now, the question is, we're talking about Oisim Mitzvah Pakim, the Mitzvah, which we're going to get into a little bit. The Mefarshim do ask that if it's possible, Im Yicholen Lekayim Shnehem, am I paturin? Right, that's your question. Why is he paturin? Let's do both. Right? He says, for example, let's say a person is wearing tzitzis, or you have tefillin on your head. That means you're paturin from mitzvos? No. So you're wearing tzitzis, you can do another mitzvah.
No, but here with mitzvah kavana, that was the whole ikar with Shema. We talked about the whole thing of having kavana when you're saying the Shema. And if you're worried, and the whole thing is you're worried about, you know, number one, satisfy your wife, then you're worried about, is she really a basula, all these other kind of things. So you cannot have the proper concentration. That's the occurrence.
Well, you can do it later after you discover the truth.
That's
the question that's brought down over here. Right. So let's see the Gemara. We are going to flip back a couple times to Yud Aleph Amud Aleph to 11a just to look at the Rashis. Because even though Rashi takes for granted that we remember them, I'm not sure if I do. So we'll see maybe two of them when we get to it. So Tanu Rabbanan. The Pasuk says, Neshama Shivtecha B'Misecha, right? When you're sitting down in your house. So we learn out from that, Pradl Osik B'Mitzvah. So if you're Osik B'Mitzvah, then you don't have to say the Shema. Right? Then it says in the Pasuk, thereafterwards, it says, so if you're a chosan, you are not obligated to say the Shema either. You're also pocked from the Shema. So if you look.
How do we learn that out?
That's certainly a valid question. Rashi and Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, if we look at this Rashi to remind ourselves of 11a, asks another question. Why do we need two psukim? One of them that says Prad Osik B'Mitzvah, and the other one is to exclude a Chosan, right? A Chosan is also Osik B'Mitzvah.
Right.
Why do you need So why do you need a separate Miyut for a Chosan when you already have this? So that's the very top Rashi over here in Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. It's worthwhile seeing again. The second line, rather. He's also Osik B'Mitzvah, so why do we need an additional Pasuk to also exclude the Chosan? If it wasn't for the second Pasuk, we wouldn't be able to deduce the Chosan from the first Pasuk. Kivan, the Osik B'Mitzvah, Loksib B'Kro B'Hed. The Pasuk doesn't specifically say, that you are being Osik B'Mitzvah, you're Pater. It's just through a deal. El Mi'ut B'Almahu. In other words, it doesn't really explain how we can see from these words, right now at least, that you're Pater from a mitzvah or you're Pater from a chasen is Pater from the Shema. Because it's just a Mi'ut. Because why does the Pasuk say these specific things, implying only when you're traveling, only when you're doing these things, that's when you say the Shema. But if you're involved in the mitzvah, then you're Pater. So now that it's just a miyut ba'alma, the kadarshinan mevesecha mematinan mine osik umblechas mitzvah. It says only when you're sitting around in your house you say the Shema, which means you're doing nothing. That's not true.
The whole thing is b'shavcha lechta b'deda. You can say it at any time and any place. That's what's really trying to teach us.
But it says when you're sitting in your home.
No, it just says b'shavcha mevesecha b'lechta b'derach. No, it's telling you that when you're doing all these kind of endeavors, you should be saying the Shema.
Why would you think not? Does it say put on tefillin when you're walking on the street and this? Of course, it's a mitzvah. Why does that have to tell you, do the mitzvah at this particular time or while you're...
Because you might have thought that you can't say it while you're traveling along the derech and that kind of stuff like that. You might have thought you only can stand up, you can only sit down. So it lets you know that when you're traveling, okay, when you're standing, when you're sitting,
all right. At
all the various different things. I mean, we've now come, you're talking a bit, you're about the Elon. You could, if you're standing up and you're working, you could even do it. So
okay, that I'll accept that for two of the words of Bevelech Decha B'Derech. But how about B'Shav Decha B'Yisecha? You're at home, you're sitting, you can have all the kavan in the world. You have all day at your house. So what does it need to tell us that? Of course. What's the purpose of telling me say the Shema at home?
They might think that you can only say the Shul.
Why would you think that? All right. So we don't think that by other mitzvahs.
Okay. Shema is a special mitzvah. Shema is a lot of the davening is not d'oraisa. This is the d'oraisa mitzvah. We get it in the thing. A lot of tefillah is the rabbanah in general. Okay, so this is a special thing, because the whole Shema is from the Torah.
Right. Well, the Gemara, as we saw, and we're going to see again, somehow learns it out, it's coming to exclude a mitzvah. The Gemara's going to ask those questions. We'll get to that. But let's just finish up this Rashi. It says, Matim minei osim lechas mitzvah. Now, the second thin line. De'ika tirda. Over there, because you're doing a mitzvah, you're being Torah, you're preoccupied, focused on doing this task. Avochasan, but you're doing a task, you're Meleches Mitzvah, you're actually doing something. So while you're working, doing actions, we're not going to require you to say the Shema. Avochasan, the Tirda, the Machshava, the Almahu. What is the Tirda? The Tirda is not an action, but it's all in his head.
Right.
Shema, Shemachashiv al Asik Basulin. He's wondering her status. Elav Kroyasera lo Ismait. If it wasn't for that second pasuk, we would not necessarily have excluded him. So therefore, what Rashi is doing is he's answering the question of why we need a separate miyut for the chasim. The answer is because we would have only said Prad Osek B'Mitzvah. True, a chasim is also doing a mitzvah. But that chassan is not as torrid as the person who is engaged in a mitzvah. The person who's engaged in a mitzvah is action. He's involved. His whole body is involved in a mitzvah. So he's torrid. This chassan is just thinking about what will or will not be. So therefore you would think the tirda of thought is not enough. Therefore we say a chassan. Also a mitzvah. But a mitzvah with thought alone, that's a level of...
But what about the whole thing, mitzvah strips kavana? What's kavana? Kavana's thought. You don't need the whole body to have kavana. Where does that come in over here? We spent the whole time learning about mitzvah strips kavana.
Right.
And this is kavana and kavana. You know, say, so, okay, you would say, a chosin can have the kavana, therefore you shouldn't say it, because his kavana is on besul.
Right. Well, I mean, we mentioned that, let's say, you can say the Shema anyway, including walking. But
you have to stop. Right.
Why do you have to stop?
Because you have to have kavana.
Right. So when you're involved in an action, that's a level of being torrid of what you're doing. That's why you have to stop. So you remove that level of tirda.
Did we agree that mitzvah strich kavana?
When it comes to the Shema, there's a mitzvah of understanding that first pasuk.
Shema Yisrael.
That's the exception.
Right, that's what we're talking about. Right. So the question is, why? Because precisely, we're going to see also really the next
dome. Why need a pasuk because he has no kavana because it's busy.
True. Well, the question is, so get kavana. The answer probably is because he's Torah and a mitzvah, we can't expect
that level.
Right, exactly. That's what the next mission is going to say, that you cannot say the Shema. It's wrong for you to say the Shema. The very end of the parak is going to be that if you say Shema at when you're a chassan, it shows like you're a show-off. It's a bal gaiva, nixik yur, because you're saying, I can have kavanah, even though no one else could. So, fine. Anyway, so let's move on. Mikan, Gemara continues in Tezayim Adal. Mikan Amru, Hakonis Esa B'suah Pater. Yes, Alman Al-Khayyim. We learn out from here, you get married, but it depends who you're marrying. If you're marrying a B'suah, you're Pater, because you're Torah. And Almana,
she's not going to be here. You don't have to worry about that problem.
You know exactly what you get.
Exactly.
Okay, so there's no worrying over there, so you have to say the Shema. So my Mashma. Gemara asks, how do we see from these psukim, namely b'shivta chava misach, b'lefta chava derech, that it's excluding a mitzvah, a chasam? How do you know that? So Omar HaPapa. Our Papa says, ki derech. Ma derech reshos, ahochanami reshos. Since the Pasuk says that you are going on the road, now why would you be traveling on the road? Because you're going for your
business.
Right, it's reshos.
Right.
There's no mitzvah for you to go into your car and drive on a highway. There's no mitzvah to just plainly do that. So clearly when the Pasuk says, v'lechta chavaderech, it means that you're going about your own business. And therefore, that's the only time you have to say the Shema. But if you're engaged in a mitzvah, then you would be potter. So where it says, well, how do you know that? How do you know the person's motive or why he's traveling on the road? Milu askinan, isn't it not possible that the psukim could be referring to when the pasuk says v'lechta chavaderech? Isn't it shayach that it's talking to k'azel advar mitzvah? Maybe the guy's on the road, but he's
going to do a mitzvah.
V'afil hachiyam rachman alikri. Nonetheless, the Torah says still read. How do you know that you're pater from kriyishma? Maybe you still have to. The pasuk is saying v'lechta chavaderech. Even if you're traveling on the road to do a mitzvah, you still have to say the Shema.
Yeah, because you're not doing the mitzvah yet. You're traveling, you're on the way to do the mitzvah, but you're not osik in the mitzvah. Traveling is not part of the thing unless you're dealing with models and you're shooting a catalog, then you got to pay what they call four-door. Seriously,
right.
You got to pay for their time in the car.
Okay.
But they're not actually doing what I'm saying. But here's the thing, just as a guy's on the way, you're going to a bris. You're going to this. But you're not performing the bris, you're not at the bris, so that shouldn't preclude you. Should have a miyur of not to do the mitzvah, because the traveling time is not the mitzvah.
It's certainly the preparations to do.
But it's we're not talking about, but preparation is not actual mitzvah. So the question is, how osek for preparation patur min a mitzvah? Is there such a thing?
Good question. It's interesting, Gemara in Sukkah that talks about the person who is traveling. So it says if you're traveling during the day, you're patur from sukkah during the day, but you're chayav at night, and vice versa. However, if you're traveling to do a mitzvah, you're patur day and night. Right? It says you're patur from sitting in a sukkah. You're traveling to perform a mitzvah. You haven't gotten there yet, but you, in order for you to be able to perform that mitzvah, pidyon shvuyin, of bris milah, whatever, you have to get from point A to point B. So the Gemara says that at that point, even though you're not even doing the mitzvah yet, you have no chiyuv to say. I'm not exactly sure whether or not that's considered to be. It's not. It's
well, the answer to the person is on a boat during sukkahs.
Yes.
You put there from sukkah.
Well, the Mishnah says clearly that a person should sit in the sukkah on a boat, even on Yom Tov. It's not an issue, assuming that it was built properly.
Okay.
So, but you're
traveling. So why should you have to? If you're with the same thing, why should you put there from the mitzvah? Why should you have to do the mitzvah? That's the point.
Oh, okay, but you're just on a
you're
boat.
Traveling, the boat's moving. You're not moving.
And you're on a cruise.
Yeah, so you're not on a cruise. Let's say you're going for business. You're going. Let's say you're going for
America, business. That's not a mitzvah.
It's not for business. You're going there to travel to get there.
To what? To do a mitzvah? People.
Yeah.
It's a good question. I'm not sure. Apparently, this Gemara implies that you're traveling to get to do this. Traveling to get to the mitzvah apparently for some reason also is part of it, which may be connected to the idea of tirda, that it's not just that you're have to perform a mitzvah, but it could be not hosik for mitzvah, hosik for preparations of a mitzvah, part of a mitzvah. But when you're preparing and traveling to do that mitzvah, it's not just that you're preparing to do the mitzvah, but you're also torud, which is also the element here, that there's two parts. It's not just osek b'mitzvah, patim b'mitzvah means I'm doing the mitzvah, even if I'm not thinking about it, I'm just going through
and
the motions.
Let's say you're in your car, I'm going to a bris. You have the radio on, you're listening to the news, listening to the music, whatever you listen to. Your mind is listening to the music, listening to the news. Even though you're going, the end result is the fact that you got in your car, you went to do the to get there.
Right.
But during that travel time, you were doing everything. You were talking on your phone, you're doing all kinds of stuff. So why should you be putter for a mitzvah, especially for something like Shema?
I would think you would not be. Even if you're traveling to do a mitzvah, but you're not Torah.
The guy's not Torah. I got to go. I'm getting my car.
But this chassan is. This chassan is right. This guy's preparing, and he hasn't performed the mitzvah yet either.
Yeah, but his whole mindset is on. We can understand a chassan.
That's the difference.
That's it. But a normal guy going to do a mitzvah to say they should fuck her, I don't know about that.
So
he's not the worries of that the chassan has.
So we're going to see that when the pasuk says v'lechtecha v'derech, it's not just prat l'osek b'mitzvah, but there's also the element of being torahed at the same time. There's these two elements.
I can understand.
That's when you're.
I can understand
Mayo
being torahed. I'm going to be prepared. You're getting yourself involved in going to bris mil. Okay, you as a bystander. Okay, fine. Going to bris this that. But and as a mitzvah, the whole nine yards, fine. But a guy who's a mayo, who has to have on his mind, I don't want to make mistakes. I got to worry. Am I doing everything right? He's torahed because his mind is
so
going to do that. That's a different story.
Right.
But just stop. He's going to a bris, so what does he care?
Right.
He just hopes everything comes off all right.
That's correct.
There's a difference.
Absolutely, because one is torahed, one's not torahed.
Right.
So, and that's what the Gemara is saying that. The reason why the person is osik b'mitzvah is potter is not just stam osik b'mitzvah, but it's because you're being torahed as well. So it's even though you're not necessarily even performing the mitzvah, you're going to perform it, but there's also what's going on in your head at the time, which will not enable you to be able to either have the kavana, or that once you have those two elements, you're now potter. And that's the idea of equating it to the chassan as well. But the Gemara asks, "Milu askinan the cause of the bar mitzvah filhachi amrachman alikri," which is the question we ask, which is the second line from the bottom of Tesaim Nal. That maybe the pasuk when it says that you say the Shema v'lech lechavaderech when you're traveling on the road means you're traveling to perform a mitzvah, and nonetheless it says you still have to say the Shema. How do you know that you're patur in that situation? Because the Gemara answers, "Im kein lemakra." Beleches, my belechtecha, Shema mina beleches didach for the mechayevas. When the pasuk doesn't say that you can just go on the road, but the pasuk says you're going belechtecha for yourself. The pasuk, that's what the suffix the chaf sofi belechtecha. You're going.
Just
on the road, for your own benefit.
Right, but it's not necessarily because you're doing the mitzvah.
Exactly. You're not doing a mitzvah.
Right.
Exactly.
You're just traveling.
So that's the only time you're potter. Similarly, when the pasuk says, b'shiftecha b'veisecha, why are you in your house? It's b'shiftecha. You're sitting. You're not doing it because you're obligated to do it. I'm doing it for myself. A mitzvah is, I'm not doing it for myself. I'm doing it because I was told to do it. So the pasuk specifically is written to tell us it's only when you're engaged in things which are for yourself, reshus. That's when you're chayav. Ha de mitzvah patiris. But if you're doing a mitzvah, then you're potter. Now the Gemara is going to ask this question now on Amud Beis, thinking all you need is to perform a mitzvah, and once you're performing a mitzvah, you should always be patur from the Shema. We'll read this line, and that's what Tosis is going to say as well. On the top, we'll say, Yehachi, my area had kain says, Absula. Why does it say the only person, the chasanus patur, is only one who marries Abasula Filkunisis Almanami. Right? Why do we say, if it's true, that a person, the Pasuk says, that the person who is obligated to say the Shema is only if you're doing it for yourself, you're going on the road for yourself, you're sitting in your house for yourself, that's when you have to say the Shema. But if you're doing a mitzvah, you're patur. But we said before, if you marry an almana, that's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to marry an almana, right? It's a mitzvah to marry a widow.
Yeah, but you don't have that. You're not Torah.
Oh, so let's see Tosis. Tosis, that's... you're jumping to the next point. Tosis is actually telling us that we have to be sensitive not to be so quick. The top Tosis says, E amrit bishlama the time of misham tirda. If it's true that the whole problem is because you're being Torah, you're thinking, shopper, that's good. El mi'achar shu tola hatam b'mitzvah, but you said it has nothing to do with tirda. You said it's based on the words of the pasuk, that it depends on, are you traveling, b'shif techa, z'lech techa, that's when you say the Shema, that's when you have to say the Shema. But if you're doing a mitzvah, then you're pater. So if that's true, if it's only dependent, the tam is b'mitzvah, almana nami, then you should also not have to say the Shema if you marry an almana. In other words, the maskana of the Gemara is going to say you need both. But right, the Gemara's shaklatari at this point is thinking that it's either tirda or mitzvah. So Tosis is saying, explaining the Gemara's question, is that if it's true that it has nothing to do with tirda, which we'll see it will, but it only depends on a mitzvah, which is what the psukim say. The psukim don't say when we exclude
the
mitzvah,
but
it doesn't say you're
pick the chasen. Yeah. If you aren't worried about the tirda, so you can say Shema. What's the big deal? It's not shayach.
It's a mitzvah.
It's a mitzvah, right? You know, that's what I'm saying.
But at this point, the Gemara says it depends on mitzvah or no mitzvah.
Right.
We don't care.
You have to think about it.
Doesn't make a difference what you're thinking.
Let's talk about Lishma. When you learn, or you're doing it, you have to do things Lishma. You can't. We say you're supposed to. So what does Lishma mean? That you have the kavana. They're not performing this mitzvah. You're not just doing it by rote. Instead of saying, oh, I'm learning in the Kabbalah, I'm not the Kabbalah class. You're doing it for Lishma, for learning's sake. So you have to have a certain Kabbalah to have Lishma. You can't just, what is your Kabbalah in learning? What is your Kabbalah for doing this thing, you know?
Well, right now, at this point, the Gemara doesn't really care. The Gemara says, because once you're doing a mitzvah, you don't have to say Lishma. Even if you could have all the kavan in the world.
The point is, wait a second. Shema is not a finite time. Shema you have from a certain amount of time to do it. You have more than 5 minutes to sit to do the mitzvah.
Yes.
You have a whole time window when you can do the mitzvah. So you, the other mitzvah is not going to. How much time is the other mitzvah?
That was a question.
They're going to require.
That was a question. Why can't you do both? Right.
No, but that's why with Torah. There's the time, there's the mind element involved, and that could be for a long time. Till you actually get to the mitzvah. Oh, you're worried, you know, is she a basula, is she this, that, and the other thing.
Right.
Okay, so your mind is wrapped up. But if you're going to bench lulav, how much time do you have to think about benching lulav? I'm going to bench, I'll make my lulav, I'm walking to shul, okay, I'm going to do a shake for lulav, finish, 1, 2, 3, how long did that take? So there's all that other time to say shema. See, but when you're a thing of being tarot,
yes.
That's a time element involved. That there's a time factor of till he gets married, till he sees what's going on there. You know, he's wrapped up in that. Not just performing the mitzvah. There's the lead up to the mitzvah, and if the mitzvah is a kosher mitzvah, you know, or there's something else that you know you have to worry about at the time.
Okay. So but right now, at this point in time, the Gemara is asking the question. That when it comes to any mitzvah, you should be potter. You don't have to say the Shema. Doesn't make a difference. Even if you have all the time in the world afterwards, and even if you can have all the kavan in the world afterwards, it doesn't make a difference.
Well, if tariag mitzvahs, we never perform a mitzvah.
That was the question.
I got to do one mitzvah today. I'm doing only one mitzvah today because that's what, you know, that's my whole life.
Does this have to be individualized? Because,
yes.
You know, I mean, you can have one person who can. Or multitask, way of saying it, but someone that can be doing something and thinking of something else and planning a third thing and can do it successfully. There can be somebody else who, once they're really concentrating on one thing, they, everything else goes out of their mind. So, as you say, the maskana is going to be that you have to be tarud and in the mitzvah, but what to be the same situation might not be tarud for one person and it might be for another.
It's true. I mean, not only that, but there's different reasons as to why this person may be tarud as well.
Take, for instance, and we just not long ago, Yom Kippur, okay? Yeah, and Yom Kippur starts at night, so that means the whole day of Erev Yom Kippur, you can't do any mitzvahs because, hey, I got Yom Kippur's coming, I got the Kabbalah, I got to do all these things I got to do from Kippur. Or the first Seder, I got a Seder, and I got a Matzah, so I got to do all these other things I got to do. So that precludes me, I'm not supposed to do anything else that day. I'm not going to Shema, I'm not going to Daven, I can't do anything else because I got to do tonight is the Seder. So, and I got to make sure the Matzahs aren't broken, or what I got to do in Karban Pesach, whatever it is. But that one, if we're going to go by this thing, that one mitzvah just wipes out everything during the day and finish. Great. You know.
The key word, I think, is being osek for mitzvah. It's not just, you know, fine, I'm wearing tzitzis. So what? I'm not really being osek in a mitzvah, which sounds like you're completely being preoccupied and engaged in either about to perform it or currently performing it. So the fact is, if you have something which does not take away from what you're doing, I don't think it's necessarily the same thing.
But I see, can I say the treatise of a chassan as opposed to something else? Because that's, you know, it's a major thing. It's not just the actual...
It's not like shaking a lula.
Exactly, it's not like shaking a lula. Exactly.
Okay, let's move on. So the more continued answers like this. Kodis is almana nami. So the more answers, hacha tarid v'hacha lo tarid. Which at this point, again, the Gemara, it seems, the way Tosus is reading as well, that it's flipping it now, saying, no, it has nothing to do with a mitzvah, it only has to do with being tarud. Right? If you're tarud, which is marrying a basula, then you're potter from the Shema. But if you're kainis as almana, you're a little tarud. You're not going to be thinking. So therefore, when it comes to an almana, you have to say the Shema. So we see it has nothing to do with a mitzvah. It has everything to do with being Torah. So where it says, one second, Im Yishum Tirda, if you're telling me it only has to do with being Torah, being preoccupied and thinking, so if that's the case, if you'll speed us to be Yam Nami, maybe what happens if you have a nice ship and it's not so nice anymore? It's
sinking.
It's sinking. So what's happening right now in your head?
You think about getting off the boat to save yourself.
That's one thing. Or let's say you're on dry land, but you see all of your merchandise sinking. So you're going to be stressed out of your mind. Is that person putter from mitzvos? No, of course not. He still has the obligation to do all the mitzvos. That unfortunately he's having a bad day. You know, in business, and all of his possessions are sinking down to the ground, but the reality is, tirda should not have any play whatsoever to do, had nothing to do with whether you have to say the Shema or not, whether you're putter from a mitzvah or not. Because people who are stressed and have problems still have to perform the mitzvahs.
No, but what if, let's say, you were on that boat?
If you're on that boat, you have to save your life. It's a mitzvah.
So, right. So
it's all a separate thing. But if you only have tirda and you're not doing any mitzvah, well, of course you have to perform mitzvahs. That's silly to say that tirda is everything. And if you want to tell me that it's true, so lama omer Rabbi Abba bar Zavna omer Rav, why does he say that an avel is chay b'chol mitzvah samurus b'torah chutz min a tefillin shehar neber behen po'er? Shnemar parcha chobo shalecha. It says, when it comes to tefillin, Hashem specifically instructs Yechezkel that you should wear your glory. You should wear your tefillin. And Tosvos is actually Machlokas Rashi Tosvos Yudalef Amud Aleph. Rashi learns out over there. It says, you know, if a person is rolling in the dirt, how can you wear your tefillin? Tosvos over there, not here, doesn't bring it down again, says it's from a diuk in the pasuk. It says you should wear your glory, which is tefillin is glory. You, which implies no one else has to. That's how Tosfos learns. But regardless, the only exception is tefillin. For a separate reason, because there's a gzeres hakasuv. Every other mitzvah, an avil schayvin. So what's the point? What's the problem? The problem is, who has more tirda than an avil? Who has more agmas nefesh?
An avil is talking about onin, actually.
Yeah, that's what it actually is talking about. Someone specifically.
Well, no, because an onin doesn't want to. Because till he buries them, right?
Yeah, so an avil works for them.
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna get more into it after this mission. The Gemara is going to talk about Nidus a little bit, but I mean, the actual Lashon is an Avil. It says, but you're right, it's not. It's the Gemara over there.
I specify
the Gemara in Sukkah. It's actually, I don't think it's brought down over 100 Al, but the Gemara in Sukkah says it's specifically on the first day, because it says
you're involved in burying. You have to, so.
So, but what's the point? The point of all this is that tirda has nothing to do with being pater chayav, because an avil is tarud. An avil is tarud, right?
But on the first day, is not the same thing with the oraisa, is it?
That's the part of the question. He's tarud, and we'll get to that. Rashi talks about that in Yud Aleph. Well, let's just move on. So the Gemara answers, this is the maskana. He says, Amri hasam tirda de rishus, hacha tirda de mitzvah. So we see this is the difference. Let's do the second part. Over here, when it comes to the chasan who's marrying the besula, there's two things. He's tarud, and he's about to perform a mitzvah. However, let's say when it comes to the boat, let's say, forget about the avil for a second, the person's boat is sinking. Right, all of his merchandise.
He's tarud, but no mitzvah.
He's tarud, but there's no mitzvah. So in that case, he's chayav to do all mitzvahs. So the only time a person is pater for mitzvahs is if he has both elements, tirda and mitzvah. As we saw the Rashi before, the chiddush over here was that a chasan, even though the tirda is not actually in his action, but it's in his head, that alone is also halachically sufficient to be considered tirda the mitzvah. However, the Rashi, I don't think it's brought here, but certainly in Sukkah, a very important Rashi, talks about a person who's an onen. He says that the tirda is not a mitzvah. You're not, what do you mean? There's no mitzvah, there's hilchos aninus, hilchos avelos, but the halachos of avelos is to go through the process, to go through certain ceremonies. But there's no additional mitzvah to say, I want you to be miserable.
Right.
I want you to have tirda, I want you to feel upset. There's no special mitzvah for that. The mitzvah of avelos is to go through the halachos, to go through the motions of avelos. So even though you are tarud, and you're going doing a mitzvah, but that being tarud is not directly connected to the mitzvah, because that tarud is really tarud derishus, because you have no need, there's no halachic obligation for you to have those feelings. However, when it comes to marriage, it's directly connected to the mitzvah, right? Well, you don't necessarily have to feel that way either, but the reality is that it's directly connected to the mitzvah. But the mitzvah of avelos is not to be worried. It's not to be stressed out. So therefore, that's the answer. Maskana sagmara, that's the reason why chasan is pot. All right, let's move on. Let's see the Mishnah. At least let's see the
again,
Mishnah.
Talking about an
oval,
not an
onen.
An
onen
wouldn't put
out tefillin. An onen is pater from tefillin, because of, let's say, according to Tosfos on Yud Aleph.
No, but he's masasek. He's masasek in the burial, more or less.
And therefore, what? That's why he's.
That's why he's pater, because he has.
Why is he pater?
He has tirda and he has.
So he should be pater from all mitzvos, but he's chayev. An ovel is chayev.
Onen, I said. Onen. But
according to, I hear what you're saying. I understand, but according to this, I want to make sure everyone explained it right. An onen is patur from tefillin on the first day. That's true. That's what this is saying. And an onen is also patur in other mitzvos as well, right? But when the Gemara over here says that a person who's an avelus is chayav b'chol mitzvos amoris b'Torah, That's referring to the additional days.
Right, yeah. He's had Misasek, but the burial is over. He just has Tirzah.
Right. There's an element also of after the Avelos as well. See, if the whole issue is because he's involved in the mitzvah, then he should be pater from all the mitzvahs. So Chayav b'chol mitzvah semoris b'Torah is referring to afterwards, right? That's what you're saying. Because before he's engaged in an onin, we know halachically he's pater from all mitzvahs. But when it comes to at that point, he's pater the entire day. The way some of Farshim explain, which we'll see, we'll get to, is that after the kvura, does that person have to still put on tefillin afterwards, right? So even though the kvura is finished, he's chayav in all the mitzvos and mers b'Torah, except for tefillin, because that whole day he's halachically considered to be in the status of an onen as far as wearing tefillin. So that's how they read this piece, that when it comes to not having to put on the tefillin even after the kvura. All right, let's move on. Rachatz Laila Harisho Shemesa Ishto. How did Rabbi Gamliel commemorate the tragic death of his wife? He took a bath, right? He went Rachatz Laila Harisho, which is something which should not be done, right? A person is in a velos, does not bathe, and the Rambam says specifically over here it's referring to B'mayim chamim, that he bathed in warm water, and it's brought down.
But he's not a mourner yet. Did he bury her?
Yes. Yeah, he buried her, and that day, and now that night, immediately thereafter, he took a warm bath. And the question is, a person who's an onen, does it last? Is it maybe 24 hours? Is it just that day?
Until the burial.
Until the burial, does it extend to the end of that day? Maybe it's also the next night.
No, he's still anonymous. If you look, he says, there's the question of, and maybe the night that she died, but he didn't bury her. I didn't know he buried her.
So let's look at Rashi. The top Rashi on the left. And Nikvara Bobayom. So Rashi says he buried her on that day. Did. And you have to translate the word a little differently, but I'll just translate it the way it says. Someone who's in a velos is forbidden to bathe in hot water. Who rachatz, he nonetheless did so. And we're going to see the reason.
Because he was still an onen, and considered that first night, he still considered an onen.
According, right.
And onen is allowed to bathe.
The Gemara is going to give an answer. It's what Rashi says here. Time istinis ani. Who Adam Oneg Mafunuk? He was finicky. Mafunuk. He was a finicky person. He was and therefore he made an exception, which the Mishnah is going to say. The Gemara is still going to say, well, how is that an answer? If it's wrong, it's wrong. You know, we'll get to that.
Where did he learn that istinus is spoken?
You know, that's the Gemara is going to ask the question of how could Rabbi Gamliel have done such a thing? What heter would he have to bathe just because he's an istinus? Who cares? But let's see the Mishnah's words actually first. Rachatz Laila Rishon, Shemesa Isho. Amru lo Talmidus, so students turned to him and said, L'matenu Rabbeinu, didn't you teach us, our Rebbe, She'avuch Aser Lirchos, that you're not allowed to do that? What are you doing? How can you bathe? So Amru lahem, so Rabbeinu turned to students and says, Eini Kishar b'nei Adam, I'm not like your typical guy, Istinus Ani. Because I'm sensitive, therefore I took a bath. And again, the Gemara is going to say, so what? What right do you have to do that? Because you're istinus. If it's osur, it's osur, you know? So there's different mafarshim over here that discuss this even before we would get into the Gemara, namely Tosfos. If we look at Tosfos over here, the second Tosfos, it's a machlokas exactly what level of an istinus. In other words, does it mean that if he would not bathe, he just wouldn't be all that happy, feel a little bit uncomfortable? Or maybe it's severe issues.
He'd be miserable,
or maybe he can get sick, and medical issues for a fool. So Tosa says it this way, Ikasar, Imo Hayarochings. It's not just he wouldn't feel, he loves bathing, he would literally be under anguish and pain if he did not bathe. Sheno also Yechotz be made Avelo elo mishum tainug. The only prohibition is only for tainug, something which is a pleasurable, right? That's the iser. But in the event that it's not for tainug, he wasn't bathing for tainug, he was bathing in order to...
For comfort.
He wasn't doing it for comfort. He was doing it to,
alleviate his distress.
His discomfort, right. There's a difference. And if we jump down a few lines down, it says, V'chein mashuba nami mesechtes yoma. It says in mesechtes yoma, mi sheishlo chatotim barosho, a person who has these boils on his head, sach kedarko b'yom kippur. You're allowed to anoint yourself with creams or whatever on Yom Kippur. You're not allowed to do that. We're not concerned. Achagad asich kishtia b'yom kippur. Even though it's one of the inuyim that a person is not allowed to enjoy themselves with eating, drinking, including his sicha, is one of the five. So how could he do so? Their answer is because he's not doing it for tainug. The only time it's asur on Yom Kippur is for tainug. But over here he's doing it to alleviate his pain. Right. So alleviating his pain is not an issue. And v'chein mashmir Yerushalmi, although asur b'rechitza, that a mourner is not allowed to bathe, hadad etem b'rechitza shel tainug. That's only referring to, again, bathing for tainug. Of b'rechitza she'enu shel tainug mutter. And therefore, that's the reason why Tosfos is learning that istinus is allowed to bathe. It's not because the whole iser of hilchos aveilos of rechitza is only for tainug, and this was not for tainug. This was to alleviate discomfort. Now, Rav Haigon goes a little bit further and says that the whole issue over here of an istinus is that he would not bathe, not that he would be b'tsar, but he would actually be b'sakana. There would be some element of sakana involved. And al-sakana, we allow this person to bathe, which implies that nafkamina would be, what if it would be tsar without sakana? Rav Haigon would say that's not enough. You still shouldn't bathe, right? According to Tosfos, he holds that is sufficient. Okay, moving on.
And of course, the same thing with sicha and Yom Kippur.
The sicha, not only tzar, but it's a sakana? No. Because the Beferish, the Gemara says Beferish in Yuma, Tosa says that when it comes to Yom Kippur, it's a din of oneg, of tainug. Avelos, even though we follow certain hilchos avelos, which are comparable to Yom Kippur, our fasting on Yom Kippur is not avelos. It's separate. So, apparently, I'd have to look into this. Maybe Rav Haigon would distinguish the laws of avelos and the laws of Yom Kippur.
Amazing. He compares sicha to shtiyah.
It's one of the five inuyim. It's one of the five things one is not allowed to do. And therefore, it's not exactly the same. It doesn't mean like you're allowed to eat broccoli because I don't enjoy broccoli. Right? It's not exactly the same thing. But it is considered to be one of the inuyim. But that's the idea. That's what Tosfos says. Okay, let's move on. Continuing in the Mishnah. The Mishnah talked about death, right? Rabbi Will's this. Then we continue like this. And it's not the Kushimes Tavi Avdo, when Tavi, his very loyal servant, died, Kibul of Tanchumim. He accepted condolences, supplications from people, greetings. Omer lo Talmidav. So students turned to him and said, Lamantenu Rabbeinu. We learn, She'ein Mekablin Tanchumim Al Havadim. You're not supposed to accept comforting words for your slaves. So what are you doing over here? So Omer lehem, so Rabbi Gamliel said, Ein tavi avdi kishar kol avadim kasher haya. He is not like your typical slave because he is considered, he's kasher. He's a kasher haya. So what exactly does that mean? So the Beis Yosef brings over here, how is he making up this hetter, the fact that he has this slave. So he says like this, that when it comes to this, he brings down a story. He brings out a story that Rabbi Gamliel somehow knocked out the tooth of Tavi Avram. It's a Gemara in Baba Kama. And it says, "V'samach simcha gedoyim." He was extremely happy. Why was he happy? Because we know if you knock out your...
He goes free.
And he loved his slave and he wanted him to go free. So he was very happy for him. He was happy that this happened. And he went to Rabbi Yosha, and this brought down the Lecha Mishnah on Mishnayo says this. He says that he went to him and said, "Guess what? My slave goes free because I knocked out his tooth." He said, "Ah, there's a problem. He does not go free because there's an opinion that the only time is no, but you have to actually have witnesses." Now, the fact that he goes free, why should he go free? Because you knocked out his tooth? That's a knas. That's a penalty. There's a concept that if you're motive knas, that if you admit, the owner first admits something, then only afterwards witnesses come, then you don't have to pay for that knas, that penalty. So according to a lot of opinions, he was not allowed to send him free because he admitted. However, Rabbi Gamliel held that's not true. Rabbi Gamliel felt that mode b'knas v'yachar bo'edim, still you're chayv, you still have to pay. So what's the point? The point is that according to Rabbi Gamliel, his slave was not a slave. He was actually freed. And therefore, when he says he was kosher, it means kosher above a kahal. He can now enter into Kahal Hashem because he's no longer considered to be an eved. So that's one explanation. How could you accept these words of the consolant? The answer is he's not. So that's one explanation. We see this last tosis over here, a second explanation. We'll see this and we'll just conclude the mission and we'll stop. Ain omdim lehem b'shura. One of the things you're not allowed to do for your slave when he dies
is b'shura, the people come by give you nechama.
Right. And tosis says over here, because dilma osi lasuki leyuks, because maybe we'll start getting involved in Yuchsin as far as his pedigree is concerned. Maybe people think, oh wow, he's like a Jew. And therefore his children will end up intermarrying because no one will know the difference. If you don't make any distinguish between a Jew and an Eved, then you're going to think he's just one of ours. And therefore, some of Farshim explain like this. When he says Kosher Hoya, what's the reason? Is because an Eved who's interacting and is living in the house of all these Jewish people, they may want to act like they're just one of the members of the family. And they're trying to act in a way that they really are not. But this slave of Rabbi Gamliel always knew his place. And he always acted exactly as he was, as a slave. He never pretended that he was a Jewish. And therefore, according to the explanation of this Tosos, Kosher Hoya means he was proper in the way he acted, that he didn't act like he was something which he was not. And therefore, no one would ever mistake him or his descendants as Jewish, and therefore it's not an issue of me accepting consolment for his death. But we also learn out from here one other Indian. The other Indian is that when it comes to an Eved, you think, oh, this is terrible, how can we mistreat an Eved? It's quite the opposite. The way that we perceive people that provide service for us is so great that the Mishnah has to go out of its way to teach us the Chiddush that you cannot accept consolement. Which means what? Who are you going to be accepting the Chama from? Your own family. Your own direct family, right? Zayin Krovim. So why would you think you're Eved? It's because the word is that you're supposed to treat him so well that it's almost like a family member. Nonetheless, the Mishnah has to say don't treat him 100% because he is not exactly the same. Let's just conclude the Mishnah. Chasanim rotzo likros kriya shema la rishon karu. A chasan on the first night, if he wants to read the Shema,
can read it.
He can do so. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, lo kol rotzo likros Hashem yitol. Not everyone who wishes to take Hashem's name may do so, and the Gemara is going to conclude the
parak.
Right, we're going to talk about this at the very, very end. A very interesting piece of Gemara, contrasting it to working on Yom Kippur, on Tisha B'Av rather, that if you end up saying the Shema as a chasan, people are going to think you're a big shadr. Rabbi Gamliel says, you know what? If you're a big Talmud Chacham, yes,
do it.
But not everyone else should do so. Lo kol harotz alitos Hashem.